Today's scripture reading is from Luke 24, verses 13 to 35, and can be found on page 90 of the New Testament. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" Jesus asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel."
"Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who had said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." And then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures."
As they came near the village to which they were going, Jesus walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When Jesus was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then they told them what had happened on the road and how Jesus had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread.
Beware of strangers. How many times did your mother drill that into your head? Probably still rings sometimes in your head when you have an opportunity to encounter a stranger. Opportunities to come across strangers are a daily occurrence in our lives. You know, if you're like me, though, sometimes you try to avoid those strangers. You either pull the book up in front of your face or pop in your earbuds or sort of try to look in the other direction and not make eye contact. But if you're like me, there's been a time when you've boarded a plane and sat down and you couldn't help but getting swept up in a conversation. Or for those of you who commute on bus or train, you've probably had plenty of opportunities for someone to just slip into the seat next to you and start a conversation. Or maybe you've been out somewhere, maybe in a parking lot, getting out of your car, and the person next to you and you are walking in together. Or you're standing in a grocery store in one of those sometimes extremely long lines, and there's nothing to do but talk to the person with you in line. And if you've ever had that opportunity, you've probably discovered that sometimes a real gift comes. Maybe you've opened up your heart. Or maybe you've given a safe place for that person to open up his or her heart and share something. When you've had that experience and you've been in that moment, you know then there comes the ending point, and that's probably the most awkward piece of it. How do you continue, or do you continue in this new relationship? Is there anything there that would keep it sustain? Do you take a moment to share a phone number or an email address or say, get in touch with me the next time you're in town, or call me if you ever need to talk again, or however you might bring that to a conclusion? Well, this is exactly what's going on in our gospel story today on the second Sunday of Easter. This is one of the few stories in the Gospels of Easter afternoon and evening. Most of the big stuff takes place in the morning, and you hear that on Easter Sunday. Rarely do you get to hear the story of Easter afternoon. And Luke gives us the story that only Luke tells, about a man named Cleopas and another walking home. Now, I'm convinced that the other in this story is Mrs. Cleopas, because that fits how gospel writers tell the story. If it had been a man, they would have put his name in the context. So Cleopas and Mrs. Cleopas are going home from Jerusalem. They had been there, obviously, to celebrate Passover, and it was now time to return, and we're told their home village is only 7 miles away from Jerusalem. Not a bad walk. They could probably do it in a day. And as they walk along and they're heading home and their hearts and minds are filled with all they've seen and heard these last few days, which is quite a bit, which is why the story is told, a stranger starts walking along with them. More than likely, they invited him to walk with them. That was nothing new. That's how people in those days lived. You would have not ever allowed anyone to be on the road by him or herself. It was just simply too dangerous. So they welcomed the stranger who walked with them. And they talked to this stranger about all they had experienced. And they were a bit perplexed because the stranger didn't seem to know what they were talking about. And so they began to tell a story. And when they told their story, everything was in past tense. He was a good prophet and teacher, and he had been crucified and killed. We saw him buried. For them, this was an event that was over. And yet they began also to say, you know, but something's happened. We're not sure what it is, but we're heading home anyway. But some of us in our crowd had heard that some women went out to the cemetery this morning and discovered his tomb was empty, and we don't know anything about that. And the stranger, I imagine, was probably thinking, now when am I going to get them? So he just kind of walks along, shaking his head in agreement, making sure he knows that he's hearing them. He hadn't fallen asleep in the walk, and you know, he hadn't zoned out to some other place, and he's hearing their story. And then all of a sudden, he begins to talk. And he starts talking about things of Jesus that they may or may not have known, and start interpreting the scripture going way back to the time of Moses and telling stories. And before long, with all of this conversation, the next thing you know, 7 miles is up. Mr. and Mrs. Cleopas are home, and they do what any good Middle Eastern family would do at that time. It was getting dark. They weren't about to let this stranger stay out in the wild and the cold and be at harm, so they invite him to come in and hope perhaps that he's even going to stay the evening with them, which more than likely happened, though the story doesn't make that clear. So they come into the home and they invite him to obviously have a meal. That's the first thing they did. And I have to wonder where Mrs. Cleopas got her bread, because she's been gone for the last 4 or 5 days. But somehow there was a loaf to be had, and it's a miracle of bread. And today we're going to tell you about a miracle of bread. And they sit down at table together. And then the stranger takes the bread and breaks it. And when the stranger blesses and breaks that bread, Luke tells us the story changes. Their eyes were opened. Their eyes haven't been closed all along. Their eyes are opened. and they recognize the risen Christ. And that one moment of breaking bread is their moment of clarity. And that's the whole point of this story. Everything changes at the table. It was in that act of hospitality. Had they allowed him just to go on his way, they would have never known who had walked with them. What did they recognize? This tells us that Thursday night they were with him in the upper room. There is no other way that Mr. and Mrs. Cleopas could have known what that symbolism of the breaking of the bread was all about had they not celebrated Passover with Jesus in the upper room. And so they were taken back to that one action of Thursday night, the blessing of bread and breaking it, that became their moment of recognition. And all of a sudden they realized the man walking with them all afternoon for these last 7 miles was not a stranger, but was the risen Christ. He became known to them in the breaking of the bread. No longer a stranger, but the risen living Christ. This is where we now enter Luke's story. Where have you been able to see the living Christ and the stranger in your midst? Where have you been able to put aside your stranger danger that your mothers raised you with and found an incredible opportunity to be touched by someone you could have never imagined just a moment ago? Or a short walk with and had an encounter with them that changed their life and yours. That's where we will go meet the risen Christ, out in the strangers of our world. And I came across a beautiful story, a modern adaptation, if you will, of the Emmaus Road story. It's told about a pastor who had been in ministry for over 20 years, and she was at the point of her next sabbatical coming up. And she was tired of all the routine kinds of sabbaticals that pastors go off and do to try to make ourselves better people and do something studious. So she took her 3 months and instead went and got a job at the Waffle House. Now, if you don't know the Waffle House, it's throughout most of the rest of America. It's your Denny's, if you will. She got a job for 3 months as a waitress at the Waffle House. And this pastor said, when it was all over, I saw more church in those 3 months than I ever have in 20 years of ministry in my congregations. That tells you something. She said, daily I saw the risen Christ at work in strangers. And she tells stories. I'm going to share three quickly. One was the young family whose car broke down right outside of the Waffle House, 5 or 6 blocks away. They had never been in the town before. They were on their way to some vacation beach spot, and the car just literally broke down. The engine warmed up. There was smoke coming everywhere. The young family crawled out of the car, the young mother in tears. She's got a crying baby on one arm. They've got 2 or 3 toddlers with them. You can imagine what that's like in a strange place, not knowing where to go. So the first place they saw was the Waffle House sign, and they walked over there. They asked our waitress preacher if she knew where they could find help, and one of the men sitting there having his morning coffee said, "I'll take care of it." You see, he had an auto repair shop in that town. He said, "Y'all come in and eat breakfast. I'll work on your car, and then I think I can get you back on the road." After the family finished their breakfast and a little bit longer, he'd gone to his shop, gotten some parts, fixed the car. They said, "How much do we owe you?" And he said, "Nothing. Have a nice vacation." Risen Christ can be in the stranger you meet. My favorite story she tells is the woman who lives in their town, and this is how she takes care of the hungry population in her community. Whenever someone on the street asks her for food, she walks them to the Waffle House. And not only does she buy their breakfast or their lunch or their dinner, this woman also sits down with them and buys her own breakfast, lunch, or dinner and eats with them because she believes no one should eat alone. Sometimes you find the risen Christ in a stranger. And then she tells the amazing story of an attorney in town who comes to the Waffle House every day for lunch. And from 12 to 1:30, everyone in that town knows that if you cannot afford legal advice at his firm because of the charges that the firm has, you can come meet him from 12 to 1:30 at lunch, and he will help you with whatever legal questions or problems you have, for he feels that no one should be cut off from legal aid. You never know when you will find the risen Christ in a stranger. That's what this story calls us to do, is to live with such an openness to the stranger in our midst. Because it may just allow you the opportunity to encounter the risen Christ. And that encounter might just change your life as well. So I think we have to get rid of our stranger danger and become a little bit more aware of the needs around us. You see in the sermon title, it says, "Beware of strangers." If you want to remember this sermon, all you need to do is this. Move a little space between the E of B and the W of where, and put in one letter, the letter A. Be aware of strangers. One little letter, my friends, makes all the difference in the world. Look around is what be aware means. Don't hide yourself in a book or behind your earbuds or turn and act as though you don't see them. But be aware of the stranger in front of you. Take a moment to sit with him or her. It may be the most unlikely person. It might be that teenager whizzing by on her skateboard all covered in tattoos, and you can't imagine you'd have anything in common. It might be that elderly gentleman creaking by on a walker all hunched over who may be the most lonely soul out there and needs a friend. It may be a person so completely different than you, different than your color, different than your gender, different than your lifestyle, different than your politics, different than your religious beliefs. And yet you might just find Jesus in each and all of those people. So stop bewaring of strangers and become people who live with an awareness. Move from beware to be aware. Today we celebrate communion. Can't tell a better story for communion than this one. Because it was only in the breaking of the bread that the risen Christ was seen. That means a relationship was started around a table. if you just say hello to someone else, that's no relationship. But when you take the time to talk, when you take the time to ask some questions, when you take the time to get to know someone, that's when you're going to be breaking some bread together. And like Mr. and Mrs. Cleopas, when that happens for you, I hope your eyes will be open to see the risen Christ in front of you. For that's what Easter is all about. Alleluia. Amen.